one shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thou God.
I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, for thy burnt offerings, to have been continually before me.
I will take no bullocks out of the house, nor he goats out of the fold.
For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills.
I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine.
If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof.
I will eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats.
Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High.
And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
But unto the wicked God says, what hast thou to do?
Seeing thou hast instructions and castest my word behind thee.
When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers.
Thou gavest me thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue firmeth deceit.
Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, thou slanderest thine own mother's son.
These things hast thou done, and I will altogether search as one as testify, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes.
Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver.
Whosoever offended grace, glorify me. And to him that reaches his conversation right, will I show the salvation of God. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. What a mighty judge we have. He's a conqueror. He's our attorney. There's nothing that the devil can accuse us of, because he paid the price. Amen. Let's turn to page 688 in the Spiral Songbook if you have it near you. Are you trusting in the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen.
We walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. And while we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Are you thankful for that? And not a doubt nor a fear, not a sign nor a tear can trust and obey. Oh, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our tolls he do richly repay. And not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. Oh, that's so true. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey in the presence of Jehovah, O God Almighty, O Prince of Peace. All the troubles vanish, and troubles vanish. In the presence of the King. Let's just worship him and invite him in. Oh, in the presence, oh, of Joe, we just invite you in, Lord Jesus, God Almighty. He's our Prince of Peace, and troubles vanish. Our hearts are mended. It's in the sing it to him once more and just make love to him. Oh, in the presence of Jehovah, oh God Almighty, Prince of troubles vanish. moments like these. Oh, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, oh, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. We love you, Lord. Once more, oh, in moments like these, I sing out a song, I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. Oh, just praise Him. I lift up my hands to the Lord. I'm singing, I love You, Lord. Singing, I love You, Lord. I'm singing. Tommy comes on the scene, he does something good for us. Amen. His presence is here. Just shake each other's hand and greet each other in the name of the Lord. We're just so thankful we have the opportunity to come and worship one with another. I'm just glad the Lord is here to meet us in His Word. Amen. Amen. Let's change over the order of the service as we bring Brother Bill out.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Oh, Jesus, I want to see You.
To see you, 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 to see praise and all glory. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading there in Hebrews 11. We'll try to get this topic out today and finish it up if we can. But, remember, just pray one for another. Remember, Wade will be ministering Wednesday, right? And then he will be gone next weekend ministering what Brother Doug Scott. So remember that. We had a wonderful time last night at the banquet. Just everybody seemed to fit right in. We're it's kind of weird and have a good time, but we try to do it in Christian love and fun for the glory of the Lord. Appreciate everything that was done. Appreciate my wife doing and getting everything, because she's the one that started it all and brought it together. And then all of the help fell in to take over and to make everything come out right. So it was a good time in the Lord. So remember that. Any other announcements? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your grace and your love, Lord, unto us. Thank you for everything. We ask you to just reach down, Lord, here among us today and be ever present with us. And let your love and grace and understanding be with us and guide each one, that we may walk in the light of your love. Most of all, forgive our sins, because we want to stand complete in you. And we just ask you to help us to give out what you've given unto us, and then that way we can move on with you. We love you and we thank you. Remember all the sick among us, Brother Dick, Brother Al, Brother Dale, Sister Mary, and all the list that we call off continually before you. And all today here, Lord, we ask you to just touch the bodies. You said you would send your word and heal us, so we believe you. Guide us all. Most of all, forgive our sins and keep us complete in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to Hebrews. And we could just save reading a lot and all, but let's go about verse 37. It says, talking about how they were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, were slain with a sword, all the Old Testament saints. Everybody understand this? This is the Old Testament saints. It's speaking of them and the things that happened to them in their lives and things. All right? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Something was withholding or didn't come at that time, all right? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Amen. But we had a good time yesterday and enjoyed it and everything there. Even the ladies, they told me how much they appreciated doing the things, and all for us to just have a good time, because they could at least stand back and laugh a little bit with us and the situations and all, and we enjoyed it, Now, I've been quite a bit on this makes number four, I guess, message on that God is waiting on us. And we think all the time that we're waiting on God. Well, that's true. That's a human item. We are people, and we're supposed to be dependent upon him and wait on him to guide us into life. But it's like the prophet came over there, and he told him, said to Moses, says, don't cry out here and all, just speak it. Well, it's always been that God wants us to take upon our own lips, take upon our own being of what we are and things, and speak the word and move forward. Because that's to me, it's been my goal is to see a church, you know, that would believe God's word and be able to anchor into that word enough to, you know, bypass all of this old life and things and turn it forth into what God has really designed and whatever. All right, but I'm trying to get a little point in, and I want to get that in of a thing. I made a couple of statements the other day. I've got to clarify late, but I'll do it later. I won't do it. But the statements was right. I ain't saying it was just West been misunderstood. But anyhow, we'll get that straight. Because we just what we want to do today is to try to bring this point to an end. Why and for what? Forgive me for being human. For what ungodly reason do you think that it would be that God's waiting on me and you? You know, I mean, that may not seem strange to you. I mean, we can comprehend, you know, and understand waiting on God. That's the point, you know, for him to come on the scene and do this and do that. And that's true now. But see, really, God is waiting on me and you to be able to step out, move on in him, and to get away from ourselves and just walk in the light of the love of God. All right. Now, I've tried to get you to think about it because, you know, the Lord spoke to me about the point and to showing me what is meant by they without us, or in Hebrews, cannot be made perfect. Now, we can go through the lineup of everything just to try to cover everybody. That word perfect there does not mean that there's some kind of perfection or, you know, you need to wash a little bit more, or buff a little bit more, or do this, that, or the other. No, it's simply explaining a situation that I believe, see, by that it's meaning to you and I. It's in the end time. What would be, you know, we go to a movie, we watch it, and it finishes, you know, and then it says, the end. But it's always got a big scene that the whole story for an hour and a half of the movie is building a thing in your mind for you to think on. But then all at once at the end, it just comes up and John and Mary lived happily ever after. It comes to a point, but remember that point is the reason for the whole story. You know, we talk about that. Well, they just go riding off through the, you know, the sunsets and things. Well, that whole movie is built for that. See, if you said, well, sum up the movie, you know, to us, and just then you just say, John and Mary lived happily ever after. See, that would be the point, but we wouldn't just do it that way. But that would be the point, right? If you said, well, you know, give me the story, and you give them page one and then say John. Well, you didn't know who John is and what's happening and things. The whole story is to get you to get those two people together, but to finish with the final scene of the movie. All right, natural way of expressing it. See, because I believe that that's the same thing as the spiritual is happening. That God has waited till the last to finish it up. All right? We're down at the end of the book. We're at the end of the story. Well, come on, folks. We ought to be. After all of these years waiting and this happening and that happening. But then we find out God was waiting on us. Well, all right. Let's wake up to the point of what we have to do with the story. See, the story is about John and Mary, right? Amen. I mean, you make a movie and all. It's about them. It's not about the author. Yep. It's not about all the other things. It's about them. Right. Right. Well, see, then here's the whole Bible. The entire Bible is to be summed up in the end time by a people Amen. Becoming what God wanted Amen. Them to be. Amen. And he can come on the scene and make manifest his word. All right. You say, well, I don't think it'll ever happen. All right. So if it don't, we're going to die and go by the grave. I mean, we got a choice. This is the end time. It's not a time element running out, a clock, and it goes tick, tick, tick. No, this is not that. This is the finishing up of all things. And I'm as serious as I can be. I'm put it here in three messages. Fourth one now to say, God is waiting on you and I to wake up from our petty little thoughts and, well, we don't believe this or we don't see this. What are you talking about you don't see it? I mean, is your heart still beating? That's a miracle. Right? I mean, what are we looking for? Miracles. Well, I just don't see God doing things, all right? Maybe we ought to wake up to that. You know, and see it around the world today. There's great manifestations of God around the world every day. All right? And see, then that's what we need. But that's what the Lord showed me. Now, here's the whole point in a nutshell. Whatever God started with, that's the way he's going to finish. Right? So if he started with John and Mary, he's not going to change situations in the story and come out and have two or three more people involved. No. He's going to end the story with John and Mary. All right. Now, that's the way I believe the Bible. I believe the entire Bible is to be finalized, finished, brought into being. Now, we're talking about the Gentile dispensation. We know, don't just say, well, he don't understand. We know that we're not going beyond to the fifth seal Jew. We're not going on out to the Jews and the redemption of Israel. We're talking about our redemption. Are you with me? All right. See, our redemption, because it's all dependent. Isn't it odd that he puts us right in the place? Amen. To where the end of all of it would be. He chose us for a specific purpose. Okay? You say, well, what's my purpose, Brother Dale, of here? To be the Word and believe the Word. Amen. To just believe it and accept it. Amen. How are you going to get your healing? Believe the Word. Confess it with your mouth and let it be made manifest. How are you going to get your salvation? Believing the Word, confessing the Word, walk into it. All right. How is there going to be a change of the body? Somebody's going to catch it and they're going to walk into it. All right. Now, we then will have our right of choice to be able to volunteer for it, or we can be this time can just keep running on for us. But somebody somewhere is going to catch it and move into it. All right. I contend it's us, so let's believe it. Why would you read the Bible for somebody else? Come on now. If you want to just stay a while on that, that's what we've done, the Baptists. That's what I used to kind of believe it was for everybody else and wasn't for me. But then I begin to, hey, wait a minute. This Bible is talking to me. Then when I heard the end time message, see, then I really saw what it was talking about. And Paul says, they without us cannot be made perfect. Okay? So that word perfect means to be complete or to finish up. It has nothing to do with bodily perfections, anything in the realms of those things. It has to do with the fact of us believing God's word and walking right into it. All right. Now, so what was our thought centered on? Whatever God starts with, God's original creation, if you'll notice in the Bible, see, Adam was a grown man. He wasn't a baby and growed up. Right. Then the disciples what? Not babies, grown men in the gospel. So every bit of God's creation, anywhere he starts a beginning of a creation in the way he wants it, it'll always start with a full grown. All right. Our Adam in the garden was full grown. He was a human being created of God, made in the image of God, and made for a specific purpose to be God's plan and purpose. That's best thing to say. And God put into Adam what he wants every son to be. All right. That's why it's so important to follow the prophet's message, because there was no way we could find it anywhere else. See, nobody else knows anything about Adam being and having eternal life in his soul. The biggest portion of this message don't know it. They don't think on it. They don't study on it. See? And you say, well, Adam had eternal life in his soul. I don't know where he did or not. I don't know where he did or not. You know, I don't everybody else, all of these brothers drink their water. Mine's because of a dry well. Forgive me. My mouth is just, it's been for weeks now, just dried out. And all right. But now listen. So what did he start with? He didn't start with a baby in the garden. Now, he could have done that, right? He could have put Adam and Eve with all, because all the other animals, see, they were created full grown, I believe. But then they started multiplying. Well, all right, I believe that you and I mean, mankind, what started off would have been Adam with eternal life. Brother Branham says, in blasphemous names. All right? Especially into Adam, the breath of eternal life, to make him an eternal person with God. All right, now, do we believe that? Now, it didn't take the new birth to bring that man into being. He wasn't birthed as a baby, he didn't do it all and all. He was spoken into existence to be the beginning of a natural human creation. And put in that what he wants every son in that creation and daughter to be. All right? So then he put eternal life. Now, if you want these, you just read it. Brother Brown says, but God, off of blasphemous name, especially upon Adam. Now, either running in your computers, you're going to run in special. Don't run in, you know, don't try to just run it in special, the way Brother Brown says it. But God's specifically, let me put that in the correct order, upon Adam, breathed the breath of eternal life, and he became an eternal person with God. He had power like God. He was an amateur God. All right, what was God doing? Making his first son and putting him in charge of that world, right? The earth and things. His son, all right. And that's what he wants it to be. In me and you. Yeah. All right? Now, when he started Adam and put him there, he put him there perfect. You agree? Because God cannot create anything imperfect. So when he created Adam, he was perfect in body, spirit, and soul as a man, as to be what God wanted. And he was there in the garden to do those things. He put the 126 man, if you wanted to do a background part of it, he put the 126 man into the 27, I think is what it is, where he created natural Adam, and he puts it there, and it, you know, to come forth, all right? That's why he would be called then the first Adam. Well, no, he's called the first Adam because he created, no, he was called the first Adam because he was created the way God wanted him. Now, if you listen to that thought, you'll see more about it. It'd be more interesting to you to think about Adam and his being. What God wanted was right there. All right? Now, why did God not make the body and spirit of Adam eternal? Now, he made his soul eternal. Which was an impartation of his own life, right? Right. Why did he not make the body and spirit eternal? Because there was no way that it could have ever fallen. That's right. If he had eternal life in body, spirit, and soul, there would have been no fall. All right? But yet leaving him like he was made him perfect to the point, but yet God knowing what Adam would do. So he just gets everything ready. You know, everything's right in order. And here comes the beast. Here comes the thing. Here comes Eve. Now, come on, you get with Brother Branham on the fact of Eve, and you'll find she had eternal life.
Oh, yeah.
Into her soul. She didn't. Now, what'd she have? You want to try to make her one thing and him another? No, she was the same thing as him. Adam and Eve were the same. All right? Now, then in doing that, then you see that they were made not to, they were not made to fall. You know what I mean? They weren't made to fall. But they were made in the position they were in to where they could fall. Are you following me? See, Adam, even though he had eternal life in his soul, he could still be tempted and tried. Well, I don't know where that, well then what about you? Don't you have eternal life in your soul by the new birth? Well, you don't have no problems. You know, you don't have no troubles. Well, I'll be glad to swap with you anytime you want to. That's, you know, I have a battle in all of this stuff, but now listen then. See, he didn't make Adam eternal life in body, spirit, and soul. He made him eternal in his soul. All right. Knowing then that the fall would come, that Eve would do what she would do, Adam would do what he would do, and it would bring the human race into that position. But he knew that would bring forth all of his attributes. Right? Now, are you with me? That would bring his attributes. So he didn't make them wrong. He made them perfect. He didn't make a sinner. No. He made a person. A human being. Because that would be his design down here. Now, as I said, keep watching Adam. If you'll take Adam from that, you'll see how he could name the animals, how all the things could take place, and all like that, because he was God of the earth. All right? Now, so what are we supposed to be? All right? Now, but see, that put then a thing in line that God could display his attributes. Okay, we see the fall and we see the things happening down through. We see in the Old Testament there were mighty marvelous situations took place, great experiences those people had. But yet we see that in that Old Testament, they did not come forth with eternal life in their soul. They just become a living soul. Because after the fall, how could you bring anything? All right. Now, then see, all of that would be waiting. All of that Old Testament was waiting. There was nobody in the Old Testament had eternal life but Adam. Now, Jesus comes as the keystone between the old and the new, putting it all together into one thing. And as he does, then Jesus Christ is who? Almighty God in human flesh. Here comes the second Adam. The first Adam was a natural human being, but not just a natural totally. He had eternal life in his soul. All right. But yet he needed to get to that tree. Now you understand what I'm saying? That God made everything so perfect, everything right in order. The tree of life was right there. They could have went to the tree of life. Right? And it would have made their bodies eternal. He said, well, how do you know that? This Bible is the Word of God. This Bible is the tree of life.
Amen.
What is happening? All we got to do is just read that Bible. And we're partakers of eternal life. In the natural. Now, I'm not saying you read it into something great eternal. I'm just using the illustration. Okay. Now, so that's where I was kind of picking up the different ones, you know, new ones today, not leaving them behind on us. That Jesus Christ then was God's full example child. But yet he was just a second Adam. Right? I mean, that's what he was. What was Jesus then? Jesus was a human being. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. All right. Remember, the Bible calls him the man, Christ Jesus. So there Jesus comes forth, and he's a natural, he's first, he's the beginning of the creation of the spiritual Adam, you know, all right, which would be the new birth to us, but now to him, he came forth into eternal life. That was little Jehovah crying in a cradle. That was Almighty God laying there playing in a cradle. Because he was a human being. Now, here's where, then I'll explain it back when I drop back for it, but I still want you to follow the point or thought, because this is the way I've always taught it. There Jesus was, body, a man, same as Adam, spirit and soul, the same as Adam, made him a man. All right. Now we'll get into the division. Don't worry about it. I studied a little bit. I know that that spirit in Jesus was a spirit in diverse manners of olden times. I know the scriptures, but yet we will get back to that later in a natural point. My point is I'm wanting you to see whatever that man Adam in the natural needed or doing it, what happened. You start the Bible, if you look, it's a beautiful picture to me. You start the Bible with a full-grown child of God, a son of God. Adam was a son of God. Amen. All right? Not just a physical creation. He was a son of God. That eternal life was dwelling within his soul. All right? Then when Jesus comes, see, he was Almighty God, eternal life, dwelling in a human being. To be the second Adam. All right? Now, this man spent a long time, but he was a man. And see, I know what most people think. And I've tried myself to explain it, but it's, you know, I will get back to it. Adam, first man Adam. Second man Adam. First man Adam was made a living soul. Is that what Corinthians says? The second Adam was made a living spirit or eternal, or the best way for me to put it in human language, you realize that second man, Adam, was the God of glory. Amen. He wasn't just a son of God that had a father up in heaven and he was on earth as a son and we got all that. No, he was Almighty God. See, you'll say, well, who was, if he was God when he was a baby, who was running the world? Oh, that's really smart, right? Yep. I mean, we think, whoa, we're smart. Who's running the world? All he had to do was say it. Because you see, all of God was not in that human flesh. He had to come down through time. He had to come down through the anointings. We'll get to that. He had to come to those great things where that anointing could come on him and then leave him in the garden. We've been through these things, so don't worry, but just listen. All right? See, but here comes what Adam had need of. Brother Brown said, in Adam is restored all things. In Jesus is restored all things that Adam fell by, and all is restored in Jesus Christ. All right? Now, but get my point. Here's the beginning. The man, Adam. A body, a spirit, and a soul. A human being. And that's what God wanted. Was eternal life in Adam. And then these other things would transpire and the fall would come. He didn't make it come. I emphasize that. He didn't make them fall. But he just knew they would. Huh? But see, what was Adam waiting on? What was Noah waiting on? I said there's great things back there. Great men, great prophets and things. Enoch walked off the earth. But you know, in his walking off the earth didn't give him eternal life. He just walked off the earth. Elijah took a chariot ride. That didn't give him eternal life. He just took a chariot ride. You say, where's he at? Well, I know where Elijah's standing waiting until he can get back over there and come with them two witnesses. I know about that, but Enoch I don't know about. But I'm just making the illustration. Great, wonderful things took place in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Under the blood of bulls and goats.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Right?
You didn't have eternal life showed down through that. You can see the Spirit of God as it moves among man and does and all of the great things that are happening. But yet you don't hear him speak of his soul. Now, the best you're going to do when you're studying it is to get over to David and the Psalms and the things, you know, and you'll find him crying out. But that's the display. You know what I'm talking about? When he comes on over then, here's Jesus Christ. He's the keystone between the Old and the New Testament. That Old Testament was waiting on him. All right? See, then it would start a New Testament. He started his church on the day of Pentecost. The 120 in the upper room. All right? 120 in the upper room, they received eternal life. Gave their soul eternal life, but their body and spirit was not eternal. But you see God standing now in the position that he wanted to bring it back. And remember what was it? He wanted to bring this man, Adam, into being back there. But he fell away from it. But now you see the bride coming forth. And as she's coming forth, eternal life begins to be a picture again. And now listen, it begins to draw. So those Old Testament people, when that human being called Jesus Christ stood on this earth, you think that didn't make the world where they could feel the pull? And that's the point of what I'm talking about. If you can just see the point of what I'm saying, Adam was back there. There was nothing else down through there that could take him and bring him to the right place, but Jesus Christ could, and he became the second Adam, the God of glory. All right? He starts his church on the day of Pentecost, 120 in the upper room. A few hours later, 3,000 or 4,000 outside. All right? But what did it happen? See? Brother Brown said the disciples had these virtues. Now, I'm stopping right there because of what he said. He said, but the headstone hadn't come yet. That's his words. All right. There was the disciples standing there with what we call the faith of the fathers. Eternal life in a human being and the capability of growing in grace and knowledge and bringing forth, because that would be the full-grown second Adam. All right? So then Paul, one of those stood up and made a proclamation. Somebody maybe said something to him one day, said, you know, Paul, what's going to happen to those Old Testament saints? And he says, well, we don't need to worry about them. Yeah, maybe they pushed him a little. So he did. He just took the whole 11th chapter. And he describes all of them, how wonderful. And at the end of it, he stops. And the person again says, yeah, but what do we do now? And Paul said, let's remember one thing. We have within us what that same first Adam had. We have eternal life in our soul. We are the beginning of the creation of God as the bride of Christ. All right? And he says, now what do we do? He said, we're going to have to wait. And they're going to have to wait because it's not finished. It wasn't finished for Jesus Christ to walk on earth. That didn't finish at all. He has to come forth and become all of the things and make the price and pay it of a redemption to where that we could receive the life that he had within us. But on the day of Pentecost, you see what was pulling up Adam. Come on, Brother Branham said, one of these days. Come on, he says, now, quoting him, he said, Adam would wake up. He said he'd reach over and get Eve and said, she'd wake up. He said he'd reach over and get Seth and Abel. And he says they would stand up on earth. What's he talking about? A pool.
Amen.
See, once that first Adam come into the being, you know, Adam, then when the second Adam comes in, there's a direct pull right down through to where that second Adam can take all things. All right. And see, that comes right into you in the new birth. And there's the apostles and things. Yeah, they had the new birth. But it wasn't enough. So Paul says, they without us cannot be made perfect. What are we going to do? Is it going to be that we pull them up and, I'm just illustrating now, to be carnal where you're carnal. Are we going to raise up those people all and dust the dirt off of them, you know, and clean them up and now y'all are worthy? I don't think so. All right. I've never had too much in my mind to where we're going to have to walk out the graveyard and tell the bodies to come out. I don't think so. That's why we got the pictures downstairs of the people from here, a lot of them that has passed on, and they're young. You know why? I want to know what they look like. I don't think we're going to be up preaching or having services, and here comes one. That's David. I don't think so now. I believe when they walk among us, they're going to be young. And I want to know them that I can see, all right? But now listen, then what? That God gave his life that could come back and live in me and you, trying to make it short now to what? Paul was the greatest teacher of the New Testament age. You know, he wrote most of the Bible, all of the things with the great apostle Paul. He understood the communion. He understood all the things. He understood the change of the body. He spoke of it. He understood it to be something would happen in the end time. And he called it, he says, you know, there'll have to be a voice and an archangel and there'll have to be all kind. He understood a lot. And he said, I've been beyond in the glory. He said, I can't even tell you the things, right? I can't even tell you the things that I saw there, all right? Reckon he saw where we're at, you know? Maybe he did, all right? But the point now, see, Paul then, he realizes that there's something wrong because now there's an argument among mankind whether a mule pulls a wagon or pushes it. You ever heard that one? You know, a mule and a wagon. And they argue whether the mule pulls the wagon or pushes it. You're going to laugh at me because he pushes it. Well, no, he pulls it. Well, let's turn around backwards. Let him do it this way then. Right. Well, no, we put gears on it. Okay, thank you. You get the gears on for what purpose? What do you put the gears on for? Then you hook up these little trace chains back here, and every what you got back there, you're pulling it. But you're not pulling it, you're actually pushing it. That's just carnal. But I thought maybe you'd never heard something like that. I listen to stories sometimes because they give you a point. All right? See, God is pulling you and I to a place. When this message came forward, now you can think whatever. I've told you over and over, when I saw God and I was a young man, an 11-year-old kid, I always wanted to see that God from, you know. Until this day, I still desire to see him. You know what's about this? That's made a pull. That's made a connection, a pull that I have with that. And I'm desiring to be there with that. See, then Paul realizes, hey, we got to get this on. So he says, they without us. And they said, well, Paul, what are we going to do? He said, well, until this finishes up, we're going to die and go by the grave. We said, one day we'll be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. He gives us a hope. See, he put something out in front of us. Now, come on, listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to explain that they without us cannot be made perfect. Where the connection is you just hook them chains up. God has done that down through time from his beginning to coming through to where Adam and David and Solomon and all of them, just a chain that's pulling everybody. He come right over in the New Testament, stepped forth in human flesh, Almighty God dwelling on earth. And it started a pool. It started a gathering. Don't you feel the pool? We sing that song a lot, don't we? I feel the pool. I hear the call. What? Can't you feel the pool? Do you realize what I'm saying? That I was looking for something? I told my wife when I first reading the Bible, I said, one of these days there's going to be two prophets come. Well, I couldn't understand Malachi 4, 3 and 4. I didn't, but I knew Luke 1, 17 and how it covered and could take you through that to where you would go to Isaiah 42 and you'd find John the Baptist and the things, the Elijah. But I couldn't understand the coming of the fourth time of Elijah, see, to be in our day. All right? But see, a pool started. You understand what I'm getting at? You realize when you receive the new birth at faith, all right? You realize the headstone's pulling you? The headstone is pulling you. All right? Pulling us to that place. To where one day we're going to walk off this earth. All right? And see, the pull is there. That's what I'm getting to. Why or what? Why does it say they without us going to be made perfect? Because we have to get a lineup connection to tie redemption all the way back to the garden. And stand over here and let that come out in the end time. And it did in the message of the hour. I'm not looking for a message to come forth to try to explain redemption. No, we've had the message of redemption. That's what we've been waiting on. That's what Paul did not have. Come on. Paul had the greatest messages, the greatest writings and things. But he did not know what those seals are. Come on. Brother Branham saw it, dreams, visions, and whatever. And it whipped the top off, and down in there he saw the seals. But what did he say? Unwritten word. In other words, nobody could understand it. It took a prophet. He realized then that once mankind started, he was waiting for Malachi 4 to come into being. There's your pull. It's wonderful of having eternal life. It's wonderful even to be like the Apostle Paul and have the great gifts and the signs and wonders and all like Brother Branham. But still, there's got to be a pull. Amen. That's what I'm talking about, a pull. That's the purpose of they without us. It connects us. Each one gets connected with that eternal life. Amen. By the new birth in your soul makes a connection with you in eternity. Yes. And all you got to do is just eat your way into it. That's what this message was for. This message, now listen, was not to just to restore the faith of the fathers. That's wonderful. That has to happen. But it's to take us to a change of the body. That Adam could not do nothing but speak of it. He couldn't bring it forth, even though the people walked off the earth, chariots and things like that. Still, that did not bring forth the plan of redemption. You see, one day then a little man struck the earth, Almighty God himself in human flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the keystone between the old and the new. If there's anything what we're doing, that's why I was talking. You didn't get it, I guess, a while ago. Does the mule pull or push? See? We look back. We better start looking forward. Now, I know the story with that, too. Don't look back. Don't look forward. So, okay, that's what I'm meaning. Let's look at the present tense. Let's look at it right now. Let's see eternal life right now in our understanding of God's Word. Did you follow the thought? The understanding of God's Word, the opening of God's Word. This message came to bring us eternal life in a body, the thing that we didn't have. The things all of those Old Testament saints didn't have. The things the New Testament saints. Paul spoke of the change of the body. But he never attained unto it. He went by the grave. So is everybody going by the grave until somebody sees it and says, this is the day. This is the day of the change of the body. All right. But you see, the point is, the world then would be waiting, coming down through in the Old Testament until Jesus Christ stepped upon the earth. All right. Then he just kept coming on through, made a New Testament, made a pool. You just consider what I'm saying. That there was a pool started in you and I in the new birth. But see, this was not to just stop. It was not to just restore a third Adam, if you want to call him or whatever, or a position of Adam coming back into doing, no, uh-uh. We need eternal life in these bodies and spirits that we have. There's where we need eternal life. Well, I thought I had eternal life, brother. That's in your soul only. It is not in your body and your spirit. I hope not. If you do, come up here and I'll pinch you. We'll find out whether you got it. Give me a hammer, I'll hit you on the toe. You say, that's just silly. No, that's been explaining your silliness. We know that there's something wrong. And the Bible said, Romans 8, that the whole world, even, everything, creation of all things, is what? Groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Right? Waiting on somebody to step on the earth that was doing, and that's what I like about it. You think about even the nature of groaning things. What do you think happened when that bull come running at that prophet? He just says, now you just stop. Just stop and go on and lay down now. And he just looks around bewildered. You know, sure he is. One day he bumped a hornet's nest and it just went all over him. They were all hanging around him. And he stopped and he said, now little hornets, go back to your nest. He said, I'm sorry. What are you talking about? Do you realize that nature saw its master? I've always taught you that. Nature saw its master. When a man could stand and look at a bull that's charging and weighing thousands of pounds and him charging straight at you, and you just look at him. The bull, you just go lay down. Right? But you see, I've seen people do things in the natural that you can show the connection. We was up in Tennessee one day and was going to a meeting. And we stopped to get us something to eat and all. And the man right beside of there had this big old German shepherd up in the back of the truck. And so, hey, I knew to kind of divert around him. Because that was his truck. And I didn't think he needed another driver. You know. Here comes this black guy, gets out of his car, walks up, that dog runs at him. Wow! Boy, he was ill. He got within about 2 foot of that guy. And I thought, oh, Lord. If he jumps him, I'm going to have to help him, you know. I'm thinking things over. Or either I got run one. You know. And about that time, that guy, he just looked at that dog. The dog just stopped. He just got a bewildered look on his eye. He said, lay down. That dog just laid down. I seen Brother Tatum do it. See, there's a connection of us human beings is already in the being. We are the offspring of God. We're the children of God. There's people that have gifts like that to where they can do it. Brother Tatum, I seen him with a dog one day, German Shepherd, and he just walked right up, laid his hand on it, and said, why, Black? He said, you just lay down there. See, we've seen things. Some of you have seen greater things because you were there with the prophet and saw the dead raised, the sick healed. All right. I take whatever little bit of ounce I can get of understanding of heaven to me now. And I believe it. But you see, this message is the message to bring eternal life in body, spirit, and soul. Right? But when are we going to start believing it and saying, thank you, Lord? See, to me, that's why it says, that's the purpose. When Paul put that in the Word, he put in the Word that there is a drawing all the way back to Adam that's come all the way down to where we are. But he said it's going on because he would stand out and preach and prophesy. He prophesied of the future. He never reached no change of the body and stuff like that. Paul didn't do it. Oh, the one that I'm glad though did. Because the Lord Jesus not only raised eternal life in body, I mean in soul, he raised eternal life in body and spirit to go with that soul. Now we've got a pool. The eternal life that Adam had in the garden that day says, here it is. The day you receive the new birth, you received eternal life. And you say, here it is, Lord. This is the pull that I've had. Amen. Are you listening? The pull, the things that are happening. That's why it says it like, they without us cannot be made perfect. Amen. We're not going to pull them up and preach sermons to them. No, when they walk here, they're going to walk here in the eternity. Amen. And we're going to have 30, 40 days for a little while to do a whole lot. That's why I don't argue with anybody about these doctrines and ideas of what they're trying to make out of. Brother Branham coming back and doing, the Bible says he's going to be here 30, 40 days. The prophet says it anyway. See, we're going to have a time that we can rejoice and do. Because we're going to already be into a kingdom. But now, listen to what I'm saying. Finish the thought. So after we leave, there won't be any Gentile pulling. There won't be any drawing to any more Gentiles. Even the foolish virgin will have already reached their positional things in life. There won't be any Gentile pulling anymore. It'll be finished. He'll turn to the Jews. And there stands Moses and Elijah. Amen. Right? Standing there. And it says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. Amen. Those Jews will hear the word of God. Amen. They'll receive of your people for here, you know, the 120, how many? 144,000 will receive eternal life into their soul. But now watch. The eternal life in their soul is only a gift imparted. They did not go through justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost to get it like you and I. So you know where their connection is? They're waiting on me and you. They're saying over there, how long, come on. See, all of that is my whole point. Because I asked him, I said, well, why does it say it like that? That they without us cannot be made perfect. I understand the wording of perfections and the us's and all the different things. But he said it made a connection. Amen. All the way back to Adam in the garden. So everything is waiting. Romans 8, read it. All creation is waiting. Sons and daughters waiting on the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. What does the word manifest mean? To make known. Waiting on God to make it known. We saw it. Come on, church. We're not making Brother Branham as some kind of a God or some kind of a different thing. He was a human being. But we saw, some of you have seen in person, the dead raised, the sick healed, and the things. But they saw God for a moment. Well, you know, we're in bad shape if we think that was all of God. Nope. Why can't we desire to move on in God and get away from our little things of ideas and, well, I don't know whether that's that or not. Brother Dale preaches today, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm talking about plainly. If you just go back and listen to the message, you'll hear me just say the same thing over again. They jumped me in a minister's meeting one time and they said, we want you to get up here and explain yourself. I said, I ain't getting up there. I said, cause if I got up there, we'd have a lengthy time for us to sit and me say over again exactly what you know I've already said. So I wasn't going to do it. I just refused it. Because that's what it would have been. I'd had to spend hours telling over again what I had taught all those years. And see, they got real quiet because they knew that was right. They didn't pursue it anymore because they knew what I'd already taught. So we had a good time. Amen? But listen, church, one more time. God started in Adam. Jesus was the second Adam. We are not a third Adam, but we are the bride of Jesus Christ. The sons and daughters of a living God as bride. Now, which one you'd rather be? I'm happy to be called the bride of Christ. I'm happy to be the point that I can say Jesus Christ is my husband, my Savior, my all in all. I don't have to wait on anybody else. I just move on with God. Let's stand together. Just think on these things. That's a pull, a drawing power. When that Lord Jesus Christ went through that death, burial, and resurrection, and he rose, that connected him to ever born again believer. But now listen. It didn't connect him to just ever born again believer. It connected him to every person in the Old Testament just as well. Eternal life. An opportunity. Do you have that eternal life? That's the main thing because he can't pull you. You don't know what I'm talking about at all on a pull until you get born again. And then you find out, hey, there's something kind of pulling me. Why is it sometimes you pick up the Bible or something and you turn to one certain scripture and you start reading? And after a while you realize, I've been thinking on that scripture all week. See, it starts connecting to pulling us to the point of perfection in Jesus Christ. Amen. What we got, Brother Joe?
And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What have I done to deserve such glory revealed to me? Thanks for that special time when I saw
didn't have to open my eyes.
You have the new birth. You don't have that. You do not have eternal life. You have no portal to God whatsoever. What about it? Sing it unto him and think about it. Thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What does it matter what we go through in life? What he done for us. Remember, it was just some kind of a something. You wasn't satisfied. There was something drawing you. And then all at once, here he comes. Right? They without us. That was the us of Jesus that draws us. When he put the connection right back in his church. Pray for your families. Pray for your children. Just pray and believe. Father, we thank you. We've tried to deliver our soul unto the people, Lord, to get back just as simple as we can. That little drawing card in our heart that brought us to you. What about a wonderful day when we all get to drawing cards, Lord, and move up a little higher and just to step out on your word. Bless and guide each one. Remember the sick among us and just touch each one. Let your love be there. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.